financing to inspection all the way to closing day. It looks easy on those cable shows, but there's so much you never see and can cost you. Take advantage of 3 decades of experience with Realtor Trish Woolwine at Frederick & Clark Realty, 615-327-4800, online at homenashville.com.
Sunshine, high about 81 today, excuse me, 91, I should say. It's going to be warm today. I got a little chance of rain throughout the entire Memorial Day weekend. That's the way it's going to be. My in-studio guest here this morning for a little bit longer here is Michael Martin Murphy, and thank you so much for coming in. Big exhibit going into the Country Music Hall of Fame, and it's called
Outlaws and Armadillos.
And you're now, the armadillo
I'm
part.
I'm an armadillo, yeah. I was never really a part of the outlaw thing.
But, yeah, yeah.
I understand it. I mean, in a sense, I was in it. What we did in Austin between about 1968 and 74 when I left, right in during that time period, we were renegades in that we were doing country music, but it wasn't played at all on country radio.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were renegades, not just to Nashville and Music Row, which defined the country music business, but to the whole country music scene nationally.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until KOKE Radio, Coke Radio in Austin, Texas, and the FM station started up that a new format called Progressive Country Radio got started. And then all of a sudden our music was acceptable on that. And then that spread in Texas. And then it just exploded around the country.
It's amazing how
the
movement
next thing
works.
You know, everybody in Nashville was an outlaw too. Like, nobody wanted to be mainstream. Nobody wanted to be standard.
Do you find some of that going on today? Because I kind of see that right now a little bit about country music. There is what some would call outlaws right now out there that have kind of rejected what's going on in the mainstream.
Well, what's
but they're doing well on their own.
What goes on, and again, I don't consider myself an outlaw in this
right.
regard, because I think the CMA is a great organization.
Sure.
But Nashville has a considerable stake mm-hmm. in being the capital of country music,
mm-hmm.
not only for the music that comes out of here, but because of the tourism that happens here,
sure.
the Grand Ole Opry, and just being Music City USA.
Absolutely.
So there was a struggle back in the 60s and 70s to take the word Western off of country and Western.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Loretta Lynn was one of the main people behind taking Western off of it and just calling it country. But at the same time, out in California, there was not the CMA, but the ACM,
mm-hmm.
Academy of Country Music.
That's right.
Roger Miller lived out there. Kenny Rogers lived out there. And let's don't forget about the Bakersfield.
Buck.
Mm-hmm. Guys, Buck
That's
Owens,
right.
Merle Haggard. Those guys were never part of the Nashville scene. There was kind of a war over the struggle. Wait a minute, are we going to lose control? Ultimately, Nashville realized they're not going to lose control of Music City just because there's music, country music being made in other places,
mm-hmm.
in other studios, because this has still always been the standard of where you came to get really great engineering, really great studios, and great studio musicians who stayed right here and made great records.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And you also just had more producers living here. So I made virtually all the records I ever made in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
Wildfire was made at Caribou Studios in Colorado, and I was living there at the time and couldn't get back here as often. I was living on top of a mountain where you could get snowed in. So I went to Caribou Records.
Why am I not surprised about that?
So, you know, you get a certain scene in a certain place like Music Row or even the extended area
mm-hmm.
of it, and it becomes very insulated. And the next thing you know, it becomes the standard of what gets played on radio because the record companies are located here. The labels were here.
We're here, yeah.
But then music business being very decentralized and having other studio scenes and other recordings in other places. And now we have the capability of having recording studios that are just as good as anything else right in our homes.
That's right.
That started about 1970,
mm-hmm.
that decentralizing. And that's what caused all these renegade outlaw movements. People mm-hmm. said, we don't want to be defined by a certain place.
Right.
What's significant about this exhibit that's opening tomorrow mm-hmm. to the public here, Outlaws and Armadillos, it's the first time Nashville has ever fully recognized what Texas did for country music. It's the only time, and they've come around. This is the CMA and the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You know, this is not some alternative deal.
Right.
This is mainstream recognizing. It took a long time, and the two main leaders of the tribe that we started in Austin, Texas, the two main chieftains are, well, one of them's gone, and the other one is, you know, struggling and not in good health. But by gosh, he's still out there on the road.
He dude. Sure is.
He's still out there. He just came in and sang on my record. I couldn't believe that I got that chance.
That's amazing.
This guy is just, he's living on the edge every minute about whether he's going to be able to do the next show, but he keeps on doing the next show. He just keeps on getting to it. I hope.
And sounds good. He sounds great on the road.
I know. He came in and he sounded great. I mean, it wasn't, it didn't sound like Willie Nelson struggling. It sounded like Willie Nelson on the record.
Amazing.
So this is the first time we've ever been really recognized for what we did fully.
Yeah.
I mean, we got recognition on the charts. We got recognition in record sales, stuff like that. But to be fully recognized as a part of the main body of country music and what Texas did for it, it's really remarkable that we have this exhibit. And I'm extremely grateful to the CMA and the Country Music Hall of Fame for doing this.
Well, we're grateful to the Hall of Fame for doing it also. We've done some things with them in the past. We love the folks down at the Hall of Fame. We really do. We even know we're a mainstream pop station, if you will, from the 60s, 70s era. But there's a lot of that intertwining in the root style of the music that crosses over right into our listeners' hands because we play a lot of that here on Hippie Radio. So
well, you know, that goes back a ways when Patsy Cline came along.
Right.
Doing what everybody called country music.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good. Her vocals were so good. And the songs were so compelling that they got on the pop charts.
Mm-hmm. Well, you did the same thing, my friend. You going to play another one for me?
Well, you know.
Can you want to do one
not
more?
Not only did we get on the pop charts, when I first started my career, this song was the only one that could get on. This was never played on a country station.
Right.
Until 10 years later. She comes down from Yellow Mountain on a dark flatland she rides on a pony she named Wildfire, a whirlwind by her side on a cold Nebraska night. Do you hear how the chord changes kind of sound a lot like I am a lineman for the county and I ride the main road. Okay, that music came out of California, not out of Nashville.
Right.
That was Glenn. That was Glenn Campbell.
Right.
You know, and he had the most popular television show in the nation at
Absolutely.
That time in music.
Mm-hmm.
But he was using banjos, and John Hartford was playing banjo and doing bluegrass right on his show, and then he would turn around and have a pop artist on the show. So that was the real meaning of crossover right there.
Remember when Johnny brought Dylan to Ryman Auditorium?
And that was all coming out of Capitol Records.
Wow.
And being recorded at Capitol Records in the same studio where the Beach Boys worked.
Mm-hmm.
And worked. Hey, no accident. Glenn Campbell was in the Beach Boys when the Beach Boys
exactly.
He played on Beach Boys albums. So
right.
Those of us that were in California that loved country music, they didn't accept it out here, still got some label and some pop acceptance.
Yeah.
But when I initially started, my acceptance was in the pop field, even though it was very clear what I was doing was very influenced by country.
Mm-hmm.
But when this song came along, it also never made the country charts. I just want to be a cosmic cowboy. I just want to ride in a rope and a hoop. Or this. Oh, boys, take me back. I want to ride in Geronimo's Cadillac. Oh, boys, won't you take me back? I want to ride in Geronimo's Cadillac. So it was a very young audience listening to that music. Mm-hmm. And, hey, this was never on the country charts either. But it was by Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Number one song. Knew a man, Bojangles, and he danced for you. Worn out shoes. If that's not a country song, you tell me.
You got that right.
For one thing, it's a waltz. It sounds great acoustically. Mm-hmm. They use mandolin on the record. Mm-hmm. But again, never played on country stations 2 years later. Mm-hmm. But what you've got to feel good about is that eventually they did get it, and they'd play Wildfire like it was an old country hit, you know. They'd say, we played the recurrent country hits right here on classic country radio. And they'd play, you know, Mr. Bojangles or sure. that kind of stuff. And I was one of the lucky ones from the pop side of country who got in under the wire in country music before they kind of slammed the door.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's face it, bluegrass wasn't getting played on country stations either. Mm-hmm. But if you get an artist that does it as good as Ricky Skaggs does it, mm-hmm. all of a sudden you've got Highway 40 Blues, mm-hmm. head down to my shoes, and it's number one on the country charts.
We electrified it.
You know. Well, then there was also, you know, I can't even remember the song, but the first one that he had, I can't remember the name of the song now. It was a pure bluegrass song that crossed over.
Yeah.
You know. So, you know, nobody listens to ballad songs that tell the stories of ships until the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald mm-hmm. comes along.
That's right.
By Gordon Lightfoot. And all of a sudden, you know, folk music's big again. Mm-hmm. It really comes down to the quality of it and what the song is and if it connects with the public.
Sure, absolutely.
It takes over and you have an opportunity.
Well, I appreciate you so much for stopping in again. And I'm very, very happy that they're doing this exhibit. And, of course, it's what's the name of it again?
The name of the...
Of the exhibit.
The exhibit is Outlaws and Armadillos.
There you go. I wanted to make sure I got it
right. The name of my new album, which is coming out in September, is Austinology.
Can't wait to hear it, man. I love that stuff.
And this interview has been about what hippie radio is all about.
Absolutely.
Peace, love, and rock and roll. Let's all quit criticizing each other, putting each other down because it's bro country or it's this or it's that. Mm-hmm. Let's all just get along and do some great songs, okay? Peace, right. Love, rock and roll.
All right, let's hear it from Michael Martin Murphy here this morning. Looking forward to it, man, and I can't wait to talk to you again. We'll talk to you down the road.
God
all right,
bless.
Michael Martin Murphy there for you this morning, gang.
The Music City.
It's time for another hour of Nashville's greatest hits in the